Welcome back to O-Parent Host Mom Unfiltered.
Welcome back.
Guys, we are so excited because we have another guest on today. Welcome, Paige Turner.
Thank you. Hi.
Thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule, we know, to come join us today and talk about all things au-pair life, mom life, wife life, all the things.
Yeah, for sure. No problem.
So let's go ahead and jump in. Introduce yourself to the pod squad. Let them know who you are, like, where do you live? What do you do for work? Tell us about your kids, all the good things.
Yeah, sure. So I am a mom of four kids. We live in Massachusetts. My oldest is almost seven and my youngest is about to turn two in a few weeks. So they're all fairly young. I work full time in operations at a startup. So I do have a full time job, and then I do content creation part-time now. It was very much just like a fun thing for a while, and now it's a job, but I do content creation as well. And so some people might have seen me on like TikTok or Instagram.
Exactly. That's how we found you. We always try to have a pulse of like the au-pair host mom community. And so we were like, wait, she has an au-pair. And then I did like this doom scroll of your TikTok and I was like, we need her on the podcast.
Yeah.
So, talk to us a little bit about your experience having an au pair. How long have you had an au pair? Have you had multiple? Because there's not a ton of information about that on your profile currently. So I was like, we need all the details of where you're at with that right now.
Yeah, sure. So I actually grew up with au pairs, so I'm very familiar with the program.
Cool.
And my mom used to be like a community coordinator back in the day. So I'm very familiar with the au pair program. You know, as a kid, I had au pairs from the time I was a baby. Like, my parents had an au pair when I was probably like one, till probably 13 or so, give or take. And we had great experiences and are still in touch with our au pairs. Most of our au pairs were from Sweden. And so we have a lot of connections in Sweden.
Love it.
Yeah. And so, you know, as an adult, I actually never anticipated having an au pair. We have four kids. We don't necessarily have the space in our home for another body. But the way we wound up with an au pair was partially due to the pandemic. We had two kids in 2020 and then 2022, and they were waitlisted at our daycare, and we couldn't find childcare that was consistent or flexible. My husband works a very sporadic schedule. He's a first responder, and so he gets called in or he works storm duty for 18-hour days on end. And so I needed support. We decided to look into the au pair program and figure out what that would mean for our family. And so that was 2 years ago, a little more than 2 years ago. So we've had two au pairs. Our first au pair only did a year in the program, and our second actually came through us. She was a rematch. Like, she was with another family and then came to live with us, and she's been here a year and is still here, and we love her. So that's kind of how we, you know, came to the au pair program and to be a host family.
Cool. Okay, so I'm curious because you're the second host mom I've talked to who did get an au pair that was in rematch. How are your feelings about that? Because I feel like there's such a negative connotation around au pairs who are in rematch. Like, oh, there's got to be something wrong with them. Or on the flip side, families, well, there's got to be something wrong with the family. So like, how did you guys come to the like realization, okay, we do want an au pair that's in rematch? Or was it just like, we needed an au pair today?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the thing about the program, right? It can be a little difficult to navigate, especially the matching process. And so after our first au pair decided she wanted to stay in the States, but she was going to be a student and live somewhere else, we matched with an au pair who was not a rematch, but she just wanted to relocate for her second year and do something different.
Yeah.
And I think it was like a week and a half before she was supposed to come, and she decided to go home. And not come.
No.
And so we were in a bind for sure.
Yeah.
And so we were exploring all of our options, but our current au pair actually came to us through our au pair. A friend of theirs connected them and she said, hey, I know your family is looking for a match. I have a friend who's looking for a match. They might be a good fit. might be worth putting them in touch. And so actually our au pair was the one who really facilitated our new au pair for us. And to be honest, I've been talking to a lot of au pairs in Rematch. I was definitely open to it. I think having grown up in the program with a mom who was a coordinator, I knew a lot of au pairs who'd gone through rematches and understood. We had au pairs that had rematched and ultimately landed with our family. And so I think a lot of it comes down to, is it a good match overall, right? And sometimes it's the family and sometimes it's the au pair. And in our case, our au pair is a great fit with us. And I hope she would say the same about us. and so we're lucky to have her and obviously very lucky that our previous au pair, you know, was open to facilitating that connection for us.
Yeah. So what type of things do you look for personality-wise as in an au pair? Like what's important for your family? Because I'm finding that it's so different. I mean, there really is kind of a family that fits most au pairs and an au pair that fits most families. And they're very different because some of the au pairs we've had on the podcast are like, I want to be a part of the family, like very integrated. And then some are like, I want my free time. I want my life. I really want to have work-life balance.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say our au pairs have definitely preferred to have that balance. When they're not working, they don't really want to, you know, be hanging with us. We also have a lot of kids. Like we're a chaotic house. There's a lot happening. I would want space as well. And so we're definitely fine with that. And that's, you know, almost probably preferred for us too, because by the time we get the kids to bed, we're just like down for the count. My husband and I were like, we can't socialize anymore or have more conversations today, even with each other. Right. So, you know, that's kind of our vibe. I'd say the things that were really important to me, you know, my older two kids are adopted and have somewhat of a complex like trauma history. We have ADHD. We have a lot of strong emotions and feelings in our house. And so I wanted somebody who was really empathetic to our kids, who understood our kids, who would be patient with our children, and come to them from like a place of love and understanding, as opposed to somebody who might view their actions as difficult or frustrating, right? Which they can be sometimes, but that was one of the number one things for me, was kind of sharing those things with an au pair and saying, hey, this is kind of the reality of our situation. And is it something that you're open to? And I'd say that coupled with the fact that we have a lot of kids. And so, you know, not everybody wants to watch four kids, nor does she. Our au pair currently only watches all four of them very rarely. Yeah. Most of the time she was with our youngest. So she'd be one-on-one, but there are times where she would help me with all four of them.
Nice. You want to ask something?
I want to ask something. Yeah. So you are very familiar with the program, as you say. How do you feel like it's still been like, how is growing up with au pairs as well? Like, is that something you want your children to like experience as well?
Yeah. I mean, I had a great experience with au pairs growing up. We loved them. They were kind of like a big sister, right? Like they didn't feel like a parent. They were more fun than that and cooler than that. And it was great. You know, my sister really loved it to the point where like every summer her cake is like a midsummer's cake, like with the strawberries on it. That's like her birthday cake she makes for herself, because she fell in love with it from our au pairs, and because that's what they would, you know, make her. And that was really the like cultural exchange part of it all. What is it in Sweden? Like at Easter, there's witches too, right? Like we would hang witches from the ceiling. And so, you know, I remember those things growing up and remember them fondly. And you know, like I said, because of things like Facebook now, we're still in touch with our au pairs and able to kind of communicate with them more regularly. And so I really enjoyed it. I will say being a host mother is very different than being a host kid, right? It's a very different experience. And so that was a learning, I think, for every host parent and every au pair, right? It's an adjustment. You have to learn how it all works and how do you work together with somebody who's living in your home and caring for your kids. And but overall, we've had a great experience. And I think our kids love it. You know, our kids love the au pairs. Our first au pair is coming back to visit tomorrow, actually. So they haven't seen her in a little while. And so, it's been great for them.
That's awesome. Okay, so we have looked a lot of your page, and we see that you discuss a lot about the cost of daycare. So did you do like a math on the daycare versus au pair before you hired an au pair?
Well, we've always done both. because of how many kids we have. And so we've always done both. Our oldest have always been in daycare, and then our youngest have historically been at home with the au pair until they hit like 2 years old. Yeah. At this point, actually, right now, our au pair mostly helps with our older kids for after school care. So when they get off the bus, she helps them go to their sports or activities, or she'll help us in the afternoons just with regular stuff at home. And so our youngest two are actually in full-time daycare. And partially that's because I work from home. So it is actually really hard for me to work from home with kids here. And so that's, that plays into it too. But again, four kids is a lot for any one person. And so we were always really cognizant of that. So when we think about the cost, truly the cost for me is actually not much different between daycare and an au pair. We're in Massachusetts, and Massachusetts has different au pair payment regulations than the rest of the country, which most most people aren't aware of. And so people have an assumption that it costs a certain amount, when in reality here in Massachusetts, it costs very similar to a nanny or a daycare. So for us, it wasn't about cost. It was more so about the flexibility of having somebody who kind of really knew our home and our kids and could be available in the ways that were best suited for our family.
Yeah, we had a nanny prior to having Nata, and it was a great situation because I had my first kid in the pandemic, and I was like, I don't know how to do this, but I didn't feel comfortable like as a brand new mom sending my kid into a daycare with all these viruses. We had no clue what they were at the time. And so I was like, well, I guess I got to get a nanny because I got to keep working. And it was a great fit for us until we realized we actually needed more. And I had another kid and we needed more flexibility to where like, hey, this week I've got a showing because I'm a real estate agent at 5 o'clock. Can we move your hours around? It's pretty rare that we do that, but just having that flexibility is so, so nice. And I think most states, when you weigh the cost, like our three-year-old, he is in a part-time preschool too. So like he does go away 3 days a week. So she's not with both of them all the time. Awesome. And I think that that's like, I think about that with a lot of host families who are like, yeah, I have four kids and you're responsible for all four of them for 45 hours a week. Like what? That's crazy to me. That's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be left alone with my two kids very often. Like, I can't imagine four.
Yeah, it's a lot. I think, you know, even for a nanny, right? Like, if I was going to have a nanny, they're going to charge me per kid, as they should, right? Yeah. People who work with our children should be compensated well and for the time that they work. And so for us, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't about money for us. It was really the flexibility and the fact that, you know, last week I was traveling and my husband got stuck late at work and we could say, hey, do you mind working that extra hour? And she was like, yeah, I was just going to be at home anyways. Doesn't matter. You know, I don't mind. And so we get to have those conversations and obviously we try not to do that, but it is something also that we talked about before we had her come, which was that his schedule is really sporadic. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes things do change and whether or not that was going to be okay with her or not, because if not, totally fine. But it just is the nature of our home.
Yeah. We talk about that so much of like, you have to be so honest in the interview process. Like, I think that helps prevent a lot of rematches. And of course there's things that you only discover when you get there, like maybe just really personality clashes or like how someone treats the home and things like that. But overall, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that you can avoid. And that's what we try to expose in this podcast of like, hey, if like go back to like the pandemic, if the family was very COVID conscious, but you want to be at the gym every day, then that's just not a good match. Like those are the types of conversations you need to be having up front. And I think that's just, we've always kind of preached that.
Yeah. But I think it's overall, like it makes the best, it makes the best out of situation. And I think that it will end up the best result.
Yeah. When you're out honest. Of it.
Yeah. Because they're going to find it out either way, both from the au pair side and the host mom side. Like if the au pair lies about something, you will figure it out. And if it's something you don't like, it might end up in a rematch and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So it's just be honest.
Yeah, for sure.
So I sent my husband one of your videos the other night, and it has become an amazing conversation topic in our house.
Yeah.
So to give you a little bit of our story of our family, my husband is a very involved dad. He is constantly doing dishes. He helps with laundry. Like, he is the partner who shows up and does his responsibility. However, he does not understand the mental load. He doesn't understand, like, what it is and how, like, I have a hard time also articulating it to him. Of, like, when I lay down to go to sleep at night, like, my brain goes like through this list of 100 things that I'm constantly having to kind of keep in rotation. So I sent him the video that you made about, like, prepping dinner when you were like, you had your, like, cucumber on the cutting board. And I was like, honey, yeah, this is it. Cause I'm like, I do all the cooking in our household. That's just, like, I love to cook. It's what I enjoy. And also it's part of, you know, having a family, you have to feed them. And so, and my husband is incapable of cooking. So it's great partnership. He does dishes, I cook. So I sent this to him because I was like, you think I'd just cook a meal and you think I'd just buy some cereal, but there are so many things that go into this list. So funny story. He's like, I've got the solution for this. You know, every man wants to fix everything. He's like, I'm going to create this app. Like, he is just going all in on this. He's like, sent it to several of his buddies. But you talk a lot about that. All that to say, like, how did you kind of learn to articulate this so well? Like, you do such a good job at, like, articulating it. And talk to us more about the mental load type stuff.
Yeah, I think you know, I couldn't at a certain point, right? When I was really in the thick of it and a new mom, and I say new mom, I had 4 kids in 3 years because my older two are adopted.
Yeah.
And then I had 2 back-to-back pregnancies. And so we went from no kids to 4 kids super fast.
So fast.
And so I didn't realize it until I was truly in the thick of it. And I was so resentful and frustrated and angry and exhausted. And I was like, why am I feeling like this? Like, what's happening, right? Why am I so angry? And I started to read books. You know, I read Fair Play. I started to listen to podcasts. I just started to learn about all of these things. And that was kind of my initial unlock of, like, oh, that's what's happening. I get it. Like, I understand now. And so from there, we started just having the conversations in our home. I will also say, I preach about, like, therapy if you can do it for yourself, and couples counseling if you can do it, because I think we are often – we think we know what parenting is, and then we become parents and we're like, oh, this is, like, completely different than
so
I thought.
Different.
It's not actually, it's not just about rocking a kid to sleep. It's about the work, the logistics of parenting. Yeah. That's the stuff that burns you out. It's the laundry and the dishes and the school forms and all the stuff. And so I, you know, just started talking about it a lot. I started talking about it with my therapist, my husband. We were just constantly having conversations about it. And I just happened to start creating content around the same time. And my content really was not about the mental load. And I would sprinkle it in here and there. And people were like, yes, more of this, please.
You're like, okay, and I guess this is where we're going.
Yeah. And so my goal ultimately is kind of what you said, which is to be able to articulate it. I want other women who are in the thick of it, who are feeling really alone in it, not sure how to say it to someone, like, what they're feeling. I want them to watch a video and say, like, this is it. I can either say these things, or I can share this video, or I can use this to help me better understand why I'm feeling frustrated about something, or feeling like I'm have so much work that I can't stop doing, right? Because that mental load checklist, it just gets longer. It never gets smaller, right?
I know.
The load doesn't get smaller. It just gets longer and longer.
It does. I feel like every season that we enter into with our oldest, like, the second one, you're like, okay, we've done this before. Like, I know what's coming next. I know what to anticipate. But, like, the 4-year-old, I'm like, oh, wow, okay, that changed. Oh, you don't want to snuggle me anymore. Okay, let me figure out how to adjust to this now. Like, there's just something that's constantly changing, which I love. Like, it's so fun. There's, like, things about parenthood that you, like, dream about getting to do with your kids. And you're like, oh, we're finally at the age where he gets it, you know?
Yeah.
But it is hard. I mean, it is hard trying to, I think, as women, like, maybe there is something innate in us that we want to do these type of things with our kids, or maybe it's society that's putting this onto us to be the person who coordinates the gifts for the teachers and making sure that, you know, our forms are signed and childcare at all times. Like, it's just all these up in the air things that are hard to physically show someone, like, hey, I am bringing this to the table. Like, you know, I've done a lot of therapy. My husband's done some therapy, which I think I fully agree with you, is, like, everyone needs to do some therapy at some point.
If
you don't think you need to do therapy, you need to do therapy more.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I really appreciate everything that you've been able to articulate. And I think it is helping so many women specifically be like, okay, I am going to stand up for my value. This is what I'm bringing to the table. And we're going to figure it out and make it equal.
Yeah. And make it visible is really the thing too, right? Like the mental load or invisible labor, all of that. It is often happening in the background. And so people just aren't paying attention to it. It's the whole, you know, who's replacing the toothpaste every time it runs low. It doesn't just get there. Somebody did it, right? And somebody bought it. And so, and it's, people think it's silly sometimes. They're like, oh my gosh, you're talking about the silliest things. Like, who cares who put the toothpaste there? And it's like, no, it's not about that, right? But it's like, there's millions of things like that that happen in a home. And especially when you have children that are constantly happening in the background and they're invisible. And so people don't see them. And so then they're not acknowledged. And then the work is dismissed. And so, and it's not just women, right? Like men have mental load too. And especially if they're an equitable partner at home, then they're doing this too, right? There's things that they're doing. And so it's really just about making the invisible visible, feeling seen for the things that you bring to the table. That's what it's about. It's not, you know, saying like, look at all the things I do. It's like, okay, well, it's really just acknowledging like, this is what I'm doing. So, and there's value in it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I love what you've said before as well. Like if a single man was doing life without a partner, they would be doing all these things that the toothpaste would have to get there somehow. So like you are bringing value to the table. And I don't know, I really appreciate a lot of what you've said. But
Thank you.
So question about like how, I mean, I've seen some videos where you talk about like how like, okay, marriage is hard. We all know this for facts. And you've gone through some hard times. Hasn't having an au pair made that easier, brought in stress off your relationship? Like how is that integrated, I guess, into, has it helped your marriage, things like that?
At first, no, it was actually worse for our marriage, I will say.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Tell us about that. I'm so curious.
Because the mental load of it all and the work and the coordination all fell to me. I was the one working with the agency. I was the one interviewing au pairs. I was the one having the follow-up calls with the au pairs, answering all of their questions, texting them, calling them. And then when the au pair got here, I was doing her schedule. I was teaching her how to do everything. We actually had a conversation at one point where my husband said something. I forget what happened, but my au pair had said something to my husband about her personal life. And he said, oh, did she tell you that? I said, oh, no, she didn't. And he said, oh, I think she sees you more like a boss and me more like a friend. And I'm like, well, that's the problem though, right? Because I am the boss. I'm the one who's in charge of everything. And you just get to show up and be the nice person who gets to have a relationship with this person living in our home. Whereas everything about the kids and the home and her payments and her schedule was me. Right? Like I was the one giving her car insurance. I was the one paying for her cell phone or figuring out how to get her a cell phone. I was the one doing all of those things. And so in theory, I was like, this will be great because she'll help relieve some of the work, at least with the caretaking.
Yeah.
And in reality, I had the same amount of work. It was just different work. And it wasn't with the kids. And so we really had, my husband and I had to come to a place where I had to say to him at one point, like, I can't be the only one who's teaching her how to take care of the baby. I can't be the only one who is telling her the schedule every single week. I can't be the only one because when I'm the only one, it's a ton of work for me. And it creates this weird dynamic where I don't actually get to enjoy the like benefits of having this relationship with our au pair. I'm just solely like the manager of the home who's telling everybody what to do all the time. And that's not fun for anybody. And so that was like our initial experience. Obviously we worked on that. And that's no longer the case. Like now, our au pair is like, we're always like, thank God for her. Thank God. Thank God. Like we're always like, oh my gosh, thank God she's here. Because she also, you know, she's been here a year. It's not like she's brand new. She just knows their routine, their schedules. Like I'll say to my husband, like, did you give so-and-so his medicine? And she'll be like, I did it. And I'm like, okay, thank you. Bye. And so like, we're all just kind of like in a groove together. She is that third adult in our home who's really like in charge as well as us, to an extent, right? Like we're still the parents, but she's definitely our partner in this part of our lives right now. And that has been really helpful. I'd say also you'd think we'd have more date nights. We don't. I think with four kids and our two work schedules, like, we're just so busy.
Yeah.
She's always like, do you guys want to go out this weekend? And we're like,
can we maybe sleep instead?
Yeah, maybe.
In separate beds, no.
Yeah. So it's been, now it is, now our marriage is much better and stronger. Mm-hmm. And I definitely do credit a lot of that to having the care that we have for our kids. But at first it was actually really hard.
That makes so much sense. And yeah, we had my husband on the podcast last week, and he was like, it was just kind of funny because, like, Natha was like, so, like, Johnny, tell us about, you know, like, what you thought about having a pair. And he's like, what do you mean? And just, you showed up one day.
Like, yeah. But it was really like that. I was like, but you must have thought something about it. Like, he was with one interview with me.
Like, the first interview.
The first interview. Yeah. He was in the background somewhere. And no, but he was. He was there the first time, and then he left, I think, because we kept talking.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, you met me in Sweden, because we had a chance to meet in Sweden before.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Because her family lives in Sweden. Yeah. I was like, you met me like 2 months before I moved there. You must have thought about it. He's like, no, well, not really. I was like, how is this possible? How don't you recognize and think about the fact that someone's going to live in your home? In one of your rooms, that someone's going to live and be with you every single day. But no, he didn't think about him. Not a single thought.
So I'm like, that's so interesting you would say that. Because for me, it hasn't, like, added on a lot of stress. Like, the coordination. I think we also have, like, just a very symbiotic relationship. Like, she literally reads my brain. It's actually creepy. Like so many times where I'm about to, like, tell her something and she'll say the same thing. I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, so it's just this perfect little, like, fit in. I mean, she just takes all of our chaos and kind of turns it into a little normal.
But I'm also like, I think I think a lot. Like, I also have a lot of, like, I have a whole
You have
list.
A lot of mental load.
I do. But, like, I'm like having all these things in my head, and it's not always I remember it, but I was like, wasn't it like, oh yeah, Sunday night, I was like, oh, Liam has school pictures. I was like, which day? Because she told me he had it this week, which means Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, but I didn't know which day, and it just popped in my head. Like, when I was walking, I was like, oh no, when was this?
I feel like for me, it has given me the ability to, like, let my mental load go a little bit. Like, between the two of us, like, we can pretty much figure out the kids. I feel like, again, my husband really is, he's a very involved dad. Like, he tries to be home early if he can, and, like, he really does help a lot around the house. I am not an organized person. It's just not my personality. It's not who I am at all. And so he is. So he does a lot of that kind of stuff. But at the same time, like, the mental load with the kids, like, 100% me. Like, he could not go buy clothes for our kids today. Like, he has no clue what sizes they are.
No.
That kind of thing.
But also, it's you who, like, does my schedule. Or, like, he could probably plan, like, a date night and not think about the fact that he needs to tell me to work.
100%.
And we just had this conversation. Because last week, my husband was like, he said something about a date night. And I was like, well, plan it. He's like, well, I don't know her schedule. And I'm like, ask her.
What?
You boop, keep asking. Like, she's right there. Right, I was there. Like, I plan every other part of her schedule. Mm-hmm. You can ask her if she has the hours available, if she's willing to do it, and then let me know, and I'll make sure I pay her and add it to our calendar. Because we have a spreadsheet, like, where we track hours and payments, and then we also have a shared Google calendar where we do our schedule. So I'm like, just tell me and I'll add it. But I'm not the only person who can talk to her about this. You could do that.
Yeah. Date nights have been, like, a very strong point of contention for us, because it's so important to me to have that connection and make sure that we're still that we're still husband and wife before we are mom and dad. But it's hard. Like, he just has a hard time doing it. And so it's always been something, but he has done better this year. I will give him so much credit.
You don't think I have a plan though?
Yes. 100%. I know that you have a plan.
I was like, you know,
you asked this week or something about date night.
Yeah. But I was like, do you know it's Valentine's Day in 2 weeks?
Oh my God,
I was like, yeah.
So what does Valentine's that mean, Johnny?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm happy to help though. But he does like he planned everything by himself. And
he did. Yeah.
And he just sometimes needs a little reminder of the dates. Mm-hmm. Like it's your birthday coming up. Yeah. Wonder if he knows that.
He brought it up today. He has a plan.
Oh, he has not told again. He has not told me this.
But he told me this morning. He's sending me for a spa day with Holly.
That's nice.
I mean, wow. Like he's finally getting 7 years later. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, it's possible.
but yeah, so, well, I think it's a really good conversation. Okay, so we always ask all of our guests this question at the end, and I feel like you're going to have a really good answer for this, so no pressure. But what is the motto that you kind of live by in life? Or like, is there something that you really like to really have as the forefront of your mind?
I don't have a motto. And honestly, I think my, this is going to be silly. Honestly, right now it's like, just like deep breath, deep breath. Like I'm constantly saying that to myself, so good. Like take a deep breath. You know, we say it to our kids for like their emotional regulation. I'm like, take some deep breaths. Like you're getting really worked up. Like, let's do a deep breath. And I will be laying in bed and I'll be reading or something. And I'm just, you know, the day is still with me and I'll take like a really deep breath and like let it out. And my husband will be like, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. I'm just taking a deep breath. Like I just need to let it out a little bit. And so it's not a motto. It's just something that I'm trying to do. You know, I'm working, I'm doing content. I've got the kids, I've got all the things. And so like some days I'll just be sitting in the car and I'm just like, you need to breathe.
Yeah, like you stopped breathing here.
yeah. So that's my, I'm really in the thick of it with little kids as you are. And so I think like that's just my day to day. It's like, okay, yeah, keep breathing, keep moving. Like we're going to be good. And so, yeah, that's probably my motto at the moment.
I love that. I feel like we did the Big Little Feelings parenting class because we were like, we want to do parenting a little bit differently. I think you have to incorporate like so many things. But anyways, I love that they do talk about that a lot. Like getting our kid to actually do the deep breath is harder, but yeah. I think it's so much more for the parents. Like I can't tell you the number of times where I've just like walked away and taken a deep breath. I'm like, okay, I can just
collect
stops
yourself.
your train of thought, like it resets and you're like, okay. The other thing I do is like hand on heart. I do that all the time. I feel like that's like my thing of like, okay,
why have I missed this?
Yeah, have you never seen me do it?
No.
Yeah, maybe I do it in private. Maybe it's like okay, at the end of the day I can like hand on heart, like I'm here.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Every kid does it a little different too. The like deep breath. Like my son will just be like, I'm not doing it. I'm like, oh my gosh, just take a deep breath. You need one. but my daughter's school taught her to smell the flower and blow out the candle. So she'll like pretend she's holding a flower and smell it. And then pretend she's blowing out a candle on a cake and she'll make her finger a candle and blow it out.
We gotta try
and so
that's
how she – so she liked that because it's like, you know, like a visual. She's like, smell the flower. And then, you know, she'll do it. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's so important that, like, because I think as parents, especially if we're trying to do things differently maybe than our parents did, you know, sometimes my kids will do something that triggers me and I just, like, stand there with my eyes closed and take a really big, deep breath and say, like, okay,
you don't want to see what would happen if I don't do this right now. It's so hard.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's kind of my... That's just where I'm at right now.
I love it. That's so good. I knew you'd have a good answer, even though you were like, I don't know, but it's a great answer.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Cool. Well, we can't say thank you enough for spending time out of your day. We know you're busy. We know that you have so many things going on, but we really wanted to get you on here because we feel like you'd have a really great perspective. And you're our first host mom that we've had on. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Cool. Well, thank you. Okay. So you may actually be able to do our sign off with us. We'll see. So we always sign off and we say, hey, då, which is goodbye in Swedish. Do you remember that phrase from your childhood?
No, I remember nothing from the language, honestly. Yeah. I don't know that they taught me very much, but I am, our au pairs now are Brazilian. So I'm like trying to keep up with that a little bit more because my kids are doing it. But I'm awful at languages. Like I took German for 5 years and I failed. Like I failed pretty royally. And only remember swear words. So, you know, that's kind of how it That's how it goes, right?
The easy ones to pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. We'll go ahead and sign us off for the day. Yeah. Hey, doll.
Hey, doll.